Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Last week, I was covering the show on Friday, and I know Andrea on Thursday was talking about A&E and people's experiences of A&E, and we are still getting so many messages from people that we decided to return to it today. And I have Alice with me on the line. Alice, tell me a bit about your experience.
Look, there, thanks for having me on. I'm delighted with the opportunity to highlight my experience because it was just so traumatic. I broke my humerus, proximal humerus, on Saturday evening on the 11th of April. I was at a party in Wicklow, so I waited to come home. I didn't know it was broken at that time, to Mullingar, which is quite a drive. And it was a shocking drive, you know, when you didn't know what was wrong with your arm or whatever. But I attended the Charter Medical Services in Mullingar, who were wonderful, and they seen me x-rayed, and they said that I had a very serious fracture of the humerus and that I would need to be sent to Tullamore. And they had sent on my record Tullamore A&E. So we waited on Sunday, the following day, to hear from Tullamore, and the consultants had given me a swing at the time up in Charter Medical and some pain relief. And he said, look, we're not getting any word back. I'll send you home because we lived in town. And we'll contact you as soon as Tullamore let us know what we expect you to be going to Tullamore sooner rather than later with that fracture. So no sooner had we got in the doors home when we got a call again from Charter Medical say to return that Tullamore wanted another x-ray. And we went up and had that. And then the doctor came back to us and said, Tullamore said, you know, we have to change your out of sling into a cuff and collar and they will send you out an appointment. This is Sunday. He thought I should get a phone call maybe Monday or Tuesday at the latest. So I received nothing on Monday. I received nothing. I just contacted my own GP because the pain was getting much worse than this. It goes straight to A&E in Tullamore, which we did. And my husband took the day off to bring me down to Tullamore. And we presented at A&E there. And they said, you know, we had no letter at the time because it was a phone call with the GP services at home. And they said, that's odd, you shouldn't be here. Like, you know, and, you know, we said, we were told to come by the GP. So finally we were waiting and waiting and we got to see my husband had mentioned, because he was getting anxious at this stage, to the lady, look, we need to have this seen. This has happened since Saturday and 48 hours. It's pretty urgent that the, you know, something is done sooner rather than later with the type of fracture, because the doctor had said that to us in Charter Medical. So the girl says, oh, don't be worried about Dr. Google or something like that. She made some remark. So he was furious anyway, and he came back to me. He says, we just may wait. So we're waiting and waiting, and we got this young doctor finally to come. And it was just a rush through, you know, very much rush. And he started straight away quoting research papers and this, that, and the other. And he said, look, he says, you're too old for surgery. We were communicating with Charter Medical. The treatment you have is the cuff and sling, and that's what we recommend. And we just looked at each other, just, are you serious, you know?
You must have been in excruciating pain, Alice.
I have never been through as much hell in my life. My confidence is gone. I'm like a deer in the headlights. I was sobbing and fretting, which I haven't done since I was a child. Be honest with you, it's just been horrific.
And when they say you're too old for surgery, what do they mean by that, Alice?
Well, he's saying it was the research papers. I said he was quoting these research papers. I didn't no more want to listen about research papers. I just wanted it fixed, you know. And I said, I can't leave me like this. I've only one kidney. I'm limited to what medication I can take with the pain. You know, I need something to be done. And he says, no, he says, it'll take a bit longer for it to fix. It'll be fine. You know, you know, we don't treat, you know, there's too many complications with your age. And I said, are you serious? I've had major surgery. I had knee replacement only a couple of years ago when there was no, you know.
Yeah. And you're, I think it's worth saying, Alice, you're 60, if you don't mind me saying. So, you know.
Yes, I'm 60, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the first time someone has said something like that to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, And I'm working, you know, I drive from Mullingar to Wicklow. I'm out of pocket, you know, financially as well and traumatically. And, you know, it's just a whole, it has a huge impact ignoring people, what they're saying.
Yeah.
And not getting the treatment they deserve. The age thing should not be brought in. And my sister's involved with the older person's group in Wicklow. And I asked her to bring it to their attention at national level. Because if this is a new directive from HSE or whatever, it's crazy. Like, people are living longer, functioning, contributing to the workplace, you know, and to the country. Like, this is just... And I said it when, like, finally I got to see... Now, I've been in and out since that meeting with him. I came out now devastated, to be honest with you. And we didn't know what to do. We were like two, as I said, children, didn't know what to do with ourselves. Because he knew that my husband knows how painful this was and how horrific it was. He had to take some time off work to mine because I couldn't even dress myself, feed myself, you know, because I'm right-handed. And it's just that whole, you know, total, you know, dependent on someone for everything, you know, going to the bathroom and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that.
And I mean, look, that would have been tough, but if you at least felt you were getting listened to and had a treatment plan, it might have made that a bit easier to bear. 11 days later, you did get to see an orthopaedic surgeon who had a different opinion on surgery.
He was a dote. He was like an angel coming. He actually listened and he was very kind. He was very gentle. And he said, look at it. He said, I can genuinely see how, because yeah, my arm, my kids called me Popeye. My arm was out like a balloon and black from the top down. And I just couldn't move it at all. The pain with the nerves.
It's great that the kids could really have your back in this, Alice, and be supportive at this time. Although humor is something that can really help us through. But you mentioned the word trauma at the start and that this was a traumatic experience to you. And it's a trauma, obviously, to the body and to the bone. But this sounds like it was a trauma to your spirit, to yourself.
Oh, totally, totally. It has knocked me. It really has. And I'm afraid... Because of the drugs they gave me to take, to make you drowsy and sleepy, and I was afraid I was going to fall again and do more damage because, like, the bone was hanging. You know, my bone was hanging out of my arm. There was only when I had the sling on, but still, that's the way they wanted it, was to hang down. You know, that it would pull the bone out of where it was because it was gone right in under my armpit. It was a compound fracture, so it was gone in and up under to my armpit. And to the side of my breast, you know, and it marked all that. So it was just, and it, to explain that every time I moved, I could feel it cutting or bleeding more, and it was just exhausting. No space, nothing.
So you had the surgery now, Alice?
That Thursday, I was in Friday morning. The following Friday, he brought me in straight away. I was the first down for surgery, and you know, you could feel the difference straight away because I wasn't. You know, pulling of the bone onto the flesh had stopped, and I got 9 pins and a plate in where the screws had to, you know, to put the bone back into place because it wasn't in place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it is. I'm so sorry that happened to you and that you went through that. And it is just a reminder to people to advocate for yourself. And sometimes you need to get a second opinion, or you need to keep asking, because sometimes you feel like you're not being listened to. And I know that can really undermine how you feel. And you wonder, am I being over the top with this? Am I doing the right thing? And I'm glad you got the treatment you needed. It's very early days in your recovery, Alice. So go easy on yourself and don't let it take all of your confidence.
It's that whole thing, though, you know, the medical profession are fantastic when you meet the right person. But this is impacting long term on me. Like, as I said, I'm out of work. My income level has dropped, you know, totally, because I'm not getting the same payment per sick pay that I used to. But the financial implications of something like this knocks you financially, physically, mentally, and emotionally as well.
Yeah.
You know, the need to look at the whole picture. And I don't want to be disabled, but I don't know if I'm going to have, like, I can bone because of the way I broke it. The consultant told me after the surgery, the bone can die up to 2 years because the blood supply where it was has been impinged from the way it is. You know, so that's a real fear I'm living with.
Yeah.
You know, if it was fixed sooner, that mightn't have been the problem. I don't know if it is, but that's what I'm thinking. But he said, like, we won't know. It'll take about 2 years or before if that bone, and I need a shoulder replacement. But that's not creating a service. That's not duty of care to the people coming in the door. And it's not just about being heard. It's been that, you know, that they really do listen and hear what you're saying, not just put it down on a piece of paper and give you a piece of paper to go home and on you go now, you know.
Yeah, 100%, Alice, I hear you. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And I really do wish you all the best and that you get back to the full use of your arm and full use to your confidence, and that this doesn't impact you going forward. Again, I'm very sorry that you experienced that, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Claire, for highlighting it, because like, we need to look at the older generation. We're aging, and if 60 is too old to live, then we're done for.
Yeah, you know, 100%. Really, after a fall, fight. That can happen to anybody. I agree with you. Alice, thank you very much for coming on. I also have Yvonne with me on the line. Yvonne, your own experience isn't necessarily about A&E, but another hospital experience you had. How are you?
Hi, Claire. I'm just listening to that lady there. And honestly, I was kind of getting emotional listening to her.
Yeah, same.
Because the trauma, not been listened to, been brushed off side, you know. And as she said, we're all getting older. Now, my experience, I'm cutting a very, very long story short, Claire, because I know we wouldn't have much time, but I was readmitted into hospital in August of 2022 after coming back from my holiday in the June previous. Like, I was on holiday with my daughter and her partner and children, and I was fine. There was nothing wrong with me when I was gone. I have arthritis. I have a very bad back, and, you know, there are things you get on with in life and you just don't bother. But when I came home, I was just in bits with this pain and was brought in. And this doctor, I was brought up to the ward. I'm skipping A&E, even though I was 3 days, 3 nights on a table. And only that I said to the doctor the next morning, I have to go home to wash myself. It was only then I got a bed upstairs. Because there was no facilities. It was absolutely like a jungle.
How did you feel in that moment, Yvonne, those 3 nights on the trolley?
Well, in the first place, I couldn't even sleep because my back, I've had lots of surgeries on my back and I always have suffered with my back. But I thought, like, I was watching other people coming in and the way they were being treated, and some of them were sent home, and was an elderly man in front of me, and I remember him asking for a pillow, and I couldn't believe when the nurse said, well, we don't have any pillows. And after a while, you know, after a few minutes were gone, he said, I'm going to ask my wife, he said, bring in a pillow to me. And I said, well, it's the only way you're going to get it. I said, like, we had a laugh over it, but imagine saying to somebody in A&E, we don't have any pillows.
Yeah, and I suppose it comes down to what you said you could identify with Alice. It's you're arriving to accident and emergency. So you're coming with an acute need, and to feel like you're being dismissed and not heard and not seen and not listened to. No matter how much pressure the staff are under, and I did say that a lot of times, this is a system that isn't suiting anybody. But humanity is gone, is what was said a couple of times on the show on Friday.
Absolutely. Respect. Humanity is gone from our country and our hospitals. Now, I got up to a ward. The first thing they were asking me constantly, they were nearly making me say I was a drinker, because they asked me so many times, well, you know, you were on your holidays. Did you have many drinks? I said, I don't drink. And then this one doctor came back. Are you sure you don't drink? Jesus, I don't drink. You know, so anyway, got over that, went up. This doctor came to see me. He said, right, blah, 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 examined me, looked at the pain, where the pain was. He said, right, he said, this was a Friday. He said, I'm going off the weekend. He said, when I'm leaving you on tea and yogurt for the weekend. And he said, on Monday, I will have, blah, blah, this doctor with me to speak to you in the ward, and we'll get a scope done. Well, I was as happy as Larry. Couldn't have been happier. And that's what happened to me now all the weekend. the his junior doctors were coming to me, giving me pethidine in the middle of the night. The pain I had, I couldn't describe the pain that was in my body. Anyway, long story short, he came in Monday morning. He walked by my bed, and the lady across the way looked at me and she said, "What about your scope?" And I said, "No, I'll ask him on the way back." So he was walking out the door, and I said, "Sorry, doctor." I said, I thought you were going to have Mr. Blah Blah and to talk about a scope." And he looked at me and he said, "Who told you that?" He said. Oh, I said, "You did. When did I tell you that?" He said. Well, I said, "On Friday." I said, "Your doctors were with you," I said, "when you told me that." I said, "I'm fasting all weekend for the scope," and I was delighted to be able to tell I was getting it. Well, Claire, I'm not joking you, all hell broke loose. His two junior doctors had to pull him out that door to get him away from me. There was a nurse on the ward giving out drugs. She was dumbfounded on the other side. He got outside the door and they had to hold him up against the wall rather than get him back into my ward. He didn't want to hear from me. "Get her out of there. I don't want to be seen. I don't want blah, blah, blah." Now, cutting another long story short, I was denied pain relief for 48 hours in that ward after that. Nurses that would have come in on night duty previous to that and would have a great hello, that everything changed. They never spoke to me. It was horrendous. He was horrendous. The sister then came in to me and she said, "Well, you know, he's gone down to make a complaint." I said, "I'll make a complaint." I said, "Send him up here to me," which I did.
What's to complain? You're in a hospital bed. You're in pain. Yeah. You need treatment. Yeah. I'm sure you weren't abusive. Yeah. You were just wondering.
No, I was not, nor ever have I been, Claire. I have worked with children and elderly people all my life.
Can I ask, much as I'd love to continue to talk to you for the afternoon, can I ask how your health is now?
I couldn't take any more anywhere. Now, as I said, the story is cut. So last April gone by, I was here one Saturday night and I was in agony with this. Like, I would walk 10,000 steps a day, clear. That was all gone. So himself was here and I said, "Will you rub that bloody stuff into me, please?" And I don't know what made me think of keyhole surgery. And I said, "Oh, no, this is what I need, someone to go down in there and see what's inside." Because, Claire, letting people know, I had 3 MRI scans and 2 ultrasounds, and none of them showed one thing up. None of them. And that's when I started saying, is it in my head? Maybe they're right, maybe they're right. But I knew at the back of my head, I knew, no, this is not right. I couldn't do anything in the house. I was crying getting out of bed in the morning. No one understood because they didn't have it. So no one wanted to listen to me. So anyway, April, this happened to me. And then that was on the Saturday night. On the Monday morning, I rang Dublin Hospital, got in touch with a doctor that I would have known previous. She had me up. Now, I paid for this. I paid for it. Because my own GPs weren't doing anything for me. So I was up 2 weeks later, Claire. And this Wednesday, 2 weeks gone, I had 4 stones and a load of sludge, black sludge that I had been passing in Sligo General Hospital. And they were removed from my body. And I can tell you today, it's absolutely wonderful.
Ah, Vaughan, I'm glad you got there in the end, but it shouldn't be this way and you shouldn't have to doubt yourself. If you present and say, "I'm unwell, I'm in pain," there should be a plan in place. And when there is one put in place, you shouldn't be told, actually, no, there isn't. Yvonne, I'm sorry you went through that. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad to hear it got resolved too late, but that it happened. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on and talking to us today. Still so many texts coming in on this. My brother went into the emergency department and told him he was suicidal last year. He was left waiting and eventually walked out, and he died by suicide in the river. Trigger warning, apologies to anybody that has sensitive information within it. I think any discussion on overcrowding emergency departments must also look at those present in a mental health crisis. This isn't a competition, but those who present with physical injuries or more traditional medical issues will get a trolley. Those with purely psychological or mental issues are the last to be seen. Well, you can keep your thoughts coming into us. You can email us lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.